It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. We have three programs for you today, and I hope you're going to enjoy them. We'll start off with the mayor of the town. This is kind of plays out like a soap opera, but it's interesting all the same. It's from 1943, and it's entitled Janie Williams, Baby.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you the mayor of the town, starring Lionel Barrymore. But first, we have an important announcement to make. The Bob Byrne Show will be heard tomorrow night over another network. Please consult your local newspaper.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Rinso are proud to present the mayor of the town, starring Lionel Barrymore. Well, all you ladies who took your Uncle Harlow's advice to try the new Rinso were pleased, I'll bet. Did you notice how just a little Rinso kept those soapy rich suds rolling up in the tub? Did you notice how they get out more dirt so that your clothes came out that famous Rinso white? Yes, our new soapy rich Rinso is going over with a bang, especially with you ladies who have extra dirty wartime washes. You see, this new Rinso gets out more dirt. Yes, it gets out more dirt. Now, as for those of you who haven't tried it yet, don't forget that the Rinso now on your grocer's shelves is the new Rinso. It comes in the same familiar package, and it's the best Rinso we've ever made. Try it soon. And now, the mayor of the town, starring Lionel Barrymore.
You certainly took your time getting down this morning.
Are there any pancakes?
There's cornmeal mush.
Ah.
Drink your fruit juice.
You know I don't like grapefruit juice.
I've been reading in the papers that it's the fruit of the commandos. Don't you want to be like a commando?
I think I'm a little beyond that stage. Oh, well, give it to me.
Oh, yes. Dr. Case phoned a little while ago. He said he was coming over to your office to talk to you about Janie Williams.
Can't I have any cream on my mush?
Cream in these times? You're the mayor and you have to set an example. That's skim milk.
Pale, anemic stuff. But what's the matter with Janie?
Well, he didn't say anything was. Just said he wanted to talk to you about her. But if you ask me, I think it's the most pathetic thing I ever heard of. Her having a baby and her husband already dead in the war. You know, sometimes I shut my eyes and I can see Tom Williams standing in that doorway, plain as plain.
Yeah, Marilla, so can I. Is there any jam for the toast?
I donated all I had to the Christmas boxes for overseas. Mm. This is war, Mayor.
Yeah.
Besides, it's time you went on a diet. You're getting too fat.
I'm not fat.
Looked in a mirror lately?
Well, a few curves never hurt anyone. Wouldn't hurt you, as a matter of fact.
Don't be malicious.
Well, so long, Marilla. See you later.
But you haven't finished your mush.
Well, on second thoughts, maybe you're right. I should go on a diet. Good morning, Walter. You got a couple of donuts and some coffee? I'm hungry.
Bet I have, Mayor. What's the matter? No breakfast?
Well, there are two opinions about that, mine and Marilla's.
Hello, Mayor. I'm glad I saw you through the window. I've been looking all over for you.
What's wrong, Milton?
Janie's disappeared.
Janie? Janie Williams? Disappeared? What are you talking about?
Well, I just left her house. Her mother's in hysterics. She left a note saying she was going away where no one could find her.
Why? What happened?
Well, I told her last night that she couldn't have her baby. That she didn't have the strength and vitality. By some miracle she was able to, it would kill her.
What'd she say?
Well, she just wouldn't believe it. She was pretty upset. I expected that, but I didn't expect her to take matters in her own hands like this and run away.
No, of course.
After all, I'm her doctor, and I'm responsible for her care. She has to stay where I can watch her. Have you any idea where she might have gone? We've got to find her.
I don't know. There are several places she and Tom used to like. I'll see what I can do.
Well, I'm going with you.
No. If you want my help, you'll have to let me do it alone. I don't want Janie running away from me, too.
Very well. Have it your own way. I'll wait in my office for a word from you. Mrs. Miller's in a bad state of collapse over this.
All right, Milton. I'll see what I can do. I'll start right out looking for her now. Somehow, I don't think she's gone very far. Janie never was much for traveling.
You'll hurry?
You sure she can't have the baby?
As sure as I know anything in the world. If she has that child, it will kill her.
Oh, poor little Janie. If you'd seen her and young Tom in my study pleading to get married, saying we've got a right to some happiness. You know, Milton, this child meant a lot to her. No wonder she ran away. Well, I'll try and find her. I'll try and find her. Hello, Janie.
Mayor, what are you doing out here at Windy Point?
Looking for you.
Oh.
Shall we go for a walk? That's where you were starting, wasn't it?
Yes, I came out here to stay with Mrs. McKinney for a while. She promised not to tell anyone.
Here, give me your arm.
Oh, that's a nice, snug feeling.
Ann and I used to like to walk out here after a snowstorm. Sometimes I come out here now and walk all by myself. It brings it closer somehow.
Someday I'll bring my son out here and we'll build a snow fort. And the biggest snowman you ever saw to defend it. I've been thinking about that all morning.
I used to build a pretty good snowman myself. Remember the one Tom and you and I built in the front yard a few years ago?
Yeah.
Marilla wouldn't speak to any of us for a week.
Yeah, I was 12 then.
Heavens. Was it that long ago?
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was just a winter or so back.
You know, I have the loveliest feeling all the time. I keep wanting to laugh and run up to people I've never seen before and say, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. I think I'm prouder of those words than any I've ever been able to say. And every day since the first day I knew about it, I've sat for a while and just thought about my son. How he'd have eyes and hair and laugh like his father's. And he'd be so beautiful it would be unbelievable. You laugh at me, but I've been practicing lullabies and nursery rhymes. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. Sometimes I shut my eyes and I see my son trudging off to school, all scrubbed and shining. Coming in at night dirty and torn with his hair done and his eyes for me to push back. And I practice scolding. Of course, you have to have scoldings, you know. Just look at the mud you've tracked in here. I never saw such a boy. That's what I'll say to him. But to the neighbors, I'll say, did you hear what my boy Tom did in school today? Well...
Oh, Janie, don't, Janie.
Don't say what you've come here to say.
I must say it, Janie. You can't have this baby, much as it means to you. Now you can't have
it. Don't say that. You can't say it. You don't know what it means to me. You don't know what it is to lie in the dark night after night telling your heart, don't cry like this. Stop looking back. Sometimes I'd go over to the window, and the shadows would move under the elm where Tom used to stand, throw pebbles against it, and my heart would stop. And I'd call his name, but nothing would move but the shadows. There's nothing anywhere now for me but shadows.
Janie, I thought you'd gotten over that.
And then I'd turn back to the room and I'd think, I'll have this son. I'll have him again and his son.
Janie, listen to me. I know what you're going through. And the only thing I can say to you is that it's all part of living.
Do you think that helps? How much do you think I can stand? I lost him, and you said I had to bear that. But you said my consolation must be my child. Well, I tried to make it that. God can't cheat me now.
Janie, much as we'd like to, we can't bargain with God. We can't say, I'll bear this if you'll give me that.
I can't lose it. Not this child. Don't you understand? There was a man I loved. And there were words said between us. And there was an entire world for the two of us alone. And now, the man is dead, and the world is gone. And all that's left is what I remember. And this son who will smile the way he smiled and reach out his arms to me.
Janie, you're just torturing yourself. I'm asking you to face a bitter truth. I know that, but it must be faced.
How can you ask me to face it when you know what it means to me? How can you ask me to accept defeat when you pride yourself on being a fighter? Well?
Well, your life is in the balance, that's why.
And so is my faith and the rest of my life. Knowing that, I'll take the risk.
Oh, Janie. No.
I want you to help me. I want you to go back to town and not tell them where I am. I'm going to fight this out. I'm going to have this baby.
Janie, I sympathize with you, but your doctor has given you advice, and I feel his opinion should be respected. And your mother agrees with him, too, Janie.
Well, if you won't help me, I'll run away again. I'll go someplace nobody will ever find me.
Ah, now, don't do that.
I want to stay here. The country doctor's been coming over, and Mrs. McKinney knows about the whole thing. I know there's only a chance in 1,000, but I've got to take that chance. And you've got to help me.
Janie, in all conscience, how can I help you knowing the danger? How can you expect me to?
Because you're the mayor, and you've always preached strength and courage. Because you're the mayor and you love a fight. And because you love Tom like a son yourself. Those are the reasons.
All right, Janie, if that's what you want, I'll do what I can to help you.
Oh.
I won't tell them where you are until you say I can, but don't let me down now. I'll send Marilla out to take care of you a little later on.
Oh. You know, Mr. Mayor, I love you very much.
You know, Mrs. Williams, that goes double. Well, come on now, let's get on back in the house.
I demand that you tell me where my daughter is.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Mrs. Miller.
You know, don't you?
Yes, I know.
Mayor, this is a very serious thing. You're stepping out of bounds. Don't you understand that this girl's life is at stake?
Yes, I do understand that, Milton.
If anything happens to her, you'll be the murderer. I never want you to marry Tom Williams anyway, but you said to let her do it. Now he's dead. And it looks as if you're trying to kill her, too.
Oh, now, see here. I'm just as fond of Janie as any of you are. She feels she wants to take the risk. She thinks you're wrong and that she can have the baby.
But do you think she knows more than the doctor?
I think sometimes the human heart's capable of surprising even a doctor. Yep. I've seen cases given up as lost before when a patient went through sheer willpower, was able to fight his way through. With the help of God, maybe. I don't know. But Janie is determined to have this child. It's my belief she will.
Mayor, I'm frankly surprised at you. I'm this girl's physician. This is completely against my orders.
All right, Milton, but you listen to me for a minute now. The thought of that baby is all that's carried Janie through this far. If she lost it now, I think it'd kill her. She knows the risk she's taking, and she says it's worth it. Who are you to say that it isn't? You who are mother, you who are doctor. What right have you to evaluate what Janie's baby's worth to her? You have no right whatever to deprive her of the right to fight.
Is she being attended, cared for?
She has the best of care. Now, when you're needed, I'll take you to her. If there's the slightest cause for alarm, you'll be called immediately.
But why can't I be with her? I'm her mother. My place is with her.
Well, she doesn't want you. Mrs. Miller, she doesn't want anyone. When she sees that you're worried, it worries her, and that just sets her back.
Well, you've taken a great deal upon yourself, Mayor.
I know. I know.
And I take great exception to your entire attitude toward this matter, sir. In the future, I'd be grateful if you consulted some other physician.
Oh, I don't want anyone else. You've mended me up all my life, Milton. Don't you understand why I'm doing this? Don't you understand what it means to this girl?
I only understand that you're taking a human life in your hands. Shall we go, Mrs. Miller? There's obviously nothing to be gained from talking any longer.
Oh, see here, Milton. Don't be pig-headed.
Mayor, you've let your heart rule your head. You've no right to do that under the circumstances. I'm sorry for Janie, so is her mother. But facts must be faced. You don't gamble with a human life.
Oh, this isn't a gamble. It's more of a prayer.
And I ask you once more, will you tell us where she is?
No.
Well, good night, Mr. Mayor.
Milton, don't go like this.
Come, Mrs. Miller.
Good night, Mayor.
Good night, Dr. Case. Mrs. Miller, good night.
We'll hear more about the mayor's problem with Janie in just a moment. Well, it seems we made a big hit with you ladies when we introduced the new Rinso. We've got more pats on the back from friends everywhere. Letters, calls, telling us how much they like Rinso. Take, for instance, Mrs. Gordon Tuthill, who lives in Jackson Heights, Long Island. She wrote us a swell letter that said,
I have three children, two boys and a girl, and I bet they hold the world's record for being live wires.
And I'll bet there are lots of mothers who will challenge that record.
When kids are as active as mine, they're bound to get their clothes pretty dirty. You'd think that wash day would get me down.
It does a lot of women.
Well, it used to, but when I heard you talk about the new Rinso, I decided to give it a try.
Good idea.
Well, believe me, for my money, it's wonderful. It gets out so much more dirt. And I know now what your Bob White means when he says Rinso White. That's what I call white.
Yes, and plenty of women will agree with Mrs. Tuthill. You will, too, the first time you try it. And I hope that'll be next wash day. Yes, you're bound to say the new Rinso is the best Rinso we've ever made. Oh, by the way, I'll have some grand news for you at the close of the program, so be sure to stay tuned in. And now back to Lionel Barrymore as the mayor of the town.
Help me to see my daughter, Mayor. It's been months now. My place is with her.
I know, Mrs. Miller, I know. I'll talk to Janie again about it.
After all, she's very young and she needs me with her.
I'll talk to her. In the meantime, let me assure you that she's very well. Marilla's with her and I've seen her almost every day.
But you will ask her?
Yes, Mrs. Miller, I'll ask her.
If she says no, I'll try to understand. I realize how hard she's fighting. I realize how hard it is for her.
Yeah, I'll see what she says. Janie, your mother's very worried. Won't you let her come out now?
No, I just can't. She'll come out and be worried. That'll just be upsetting for both of us. I have to fight this out in my own way. I don't want anyone with me who's going to think that I might not come through this all right.
Oh, but I'd like you to see your mother, Janie. This is pretty hard on her.
I'm sorry, but I just can't. I've got to be selfish about this. I have no strength or faith to share. I need it all on myself.
Well, all right, Janie. All right. I just want that. But I have another letter for you, though, from her. Shall I bring it over? Right away. Goodbye, Mrs. Miller. I don't pray to you often, Ann, but I need your help. It's going to be all right, isn't it? It's got to be all right. If you hadn't died, if you'd have been in here to say,
But you'd have said it was all right, wouldn't you, Ann? You always wanted a son. You'd have known how she felt, wouldn't you? But Anna just couldn't turn it down.
Hello?
That you, Mayor? Get Dr. Case and come right away. Hurry.
I'll be right there, Marilla. Goodbye. Hello. Hello, operator. Get me Dr. Case. Come in, come in, come in. Oh, good, Milton. Come on, come on, we gotta hurry.
Where are we going?
Out to Windy Point. Come on, come on. Oh, just a minute, just a minute. I'll have to get that. Hello?
Hello, Mayor.
We're leaving for Windy Point now, Judge. Marilla just phoned.
Mayor, listen to me. I just had a phone call from Tom. He's flying out immediately.
From Tom? You mean your son, Tom?
Yes. He drifted for days in an open boat after his ship went down in the Solomons. He was picked up by a British ship and was all this time getting back.
Oh, thank God for that.
In God's name, man, come on.
You'll bring him out when he comes, Judge?
The very moment he arrives.
All right, goodbye.
Come on, let's go.
Sit down, Tom. You've been walking for hours.
How still it is. It seems if we've been here for weeks.
We could just do something. It's so awful to be here like this and not be able to help.
Yeah, I know, I know, I know.
Oh, gee, I've been dreaming for weeks how she'd look when I came home. I thought she'd be down at the depot in that funny red hat she used to wear. And she'd be laughing. Somehow I was always sure she'd be laughing when I came home. Mayor, she won't die, will she? She can't, not when I fought my way halfway around the world to get back to her.
Dr. Case said she couldn't have this baby and live. But she wouldn't listen to the doctor. She wouldn't listen to any of us, except the mayor.
You let her do this when you knew it might mean her life?
I couldn't refuse it, Tom. I don't see how anyone could have listened to her and refused.
More hot water, Mrs. Miller. Hurry.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
How is she?
I don't know yet.
It's so still in there. Here, I'll carry that.
Thank you.
Suppose she dies. Suppose she dies, Mayor.
We won't think about that.
No. Well, what else is there to think about?
A little girl who used to set her dolls and teacups on the front porch. A young lady who always liked to be doing things. Who tore headlong and eagerly into everything she did. And who always landed right side up somehow.
I just can't imagine living without her. Seems as though she's always been a part of me. I keep seeing her. In a pink dress she wore when I took her to her first formal. In the blue slacks she used to wear in the summer. In the dress she wore the day we were married. Nights on the ship I used to think about all those things. I used to add them up and count them over. I can't lose her. There just can't be an end to everything you loved. Janie was always so alive. She was always running or laughing.
Tom, now, son, sit down. You've got to be rational about this thing.
Sure, sure. It's easy for you to say that. It isn't your wife that's in there.
No, but if it were, and she'd put up the fight Janie has put up, I think I'd be rooting for her to win. And I think I'd be praying.
But she's so young to go through this. She wasn't old enough.
She was old enough to be in love. You old enough to see Tom off to war and face that message, dead or missing in the Coral Seas? Yes, so she was old enough for that.
You're right, Mayor. I'm sorry. I guess you'll just have to make allowances. This is kind of a new experience for me. Mayor!
Listen.
She's done it. By the Lord Harry, she's done it.
For a moment now.
Go ahead, Tom.
Doctor, is she...
She's going to be all right. She had a bad time, but she's going to be all right. And she had a healthy 5.5-pound son.
Oh, gee, I feel like crying.
Go ahead, Ann. She's been waiting for you for a long time.
Go ahead, Tom. I told her you were here, but just stay a moment. She's very weak.
Give her my love, Tom, and tell her nice work.
Of course I will. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, Mr. Mayor, God was with you.
We can all be very grateful.
Oh, I knew Janie'd come through.
Here, Mrs. Miller, hand me the smelling salts on that table. Come now, Mayor. Take a deep whiff. We never lost a father yet, much less a godfather.
The mayor's coming back in just a moment, but now for that news I promised you. I've told you about our new soapy rich Rinso, how it gets out more dirt, how it gives longer lasting suds that'll make your eyes pop, and how it's the best Rinso we've ever made. Well, now, to be perfectly frank, we're so anxious to have you all try it that we're making a marvelous offer to make sure you will. Now, here's what it is. For a limited time only, and in the United States only, we'll send you 6 beautiful greeting cards, plus envelopes. 3 for birthdays, 1 for convalescence, 1 for baby congratulations, and 1 for that special anniversary. Plus, a compact 16-page reminder booklet in calendar form in which you can jot down birthdays, anniversaries, and other important personal dates. Remember, it's a special introductory offer, just so you'll try the new soapy rich Rinso. So, get a package tomorrow, and then send 10 cents in the opening tab of a Rinso box to Lionel Barrymore, Box 52, New York City. Send for as many sets as you like, but be sure to enclose 10 cents and the opening tab of a Rinso box for each set. That address is Lionel Barrymore, Box 52, New York City. And now, here's Mr. Barrymore.
Well, there's no use beating around the bush. We all know how the war has to be fought. With men and with money. You've been asked time and again to buy war bonds, and you've been buying them because, of course, you want to help to pay your share for victory. And as we all know, you'll get your money back with a darn fight rate of interest. Now we're going to pay a 5% victory tax on all income over and above $624 yearly. That's to help pay for the war, too, because victory doesn't come cheap. Now, I'm not going to try to explain all the technical details of the victory tax. I'm just going to make an earnest request of you not to cut down on your war bond purchases because of this tax. You'll be rendering your country a service, a truly great service, if you continue to buy war bonds, even more than you have been buying. You'll be making an investment that'll increase by 1/3 in 10 years. Remember, victory will be expensive, but it's cheap at any price. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the makers of Spry present an event in radio, a thrilling half hour of Aunt Jenny's Real Life Stories, the famous daytime program that's heard and loved by millions. This is the first time in history for a full 30-minute presentation of this brilliant daytime show. Don't miss it. Tonight's story, Stout Fella, will follow immediately, so stay tuned to this station. Mr. Barrymore appears through as the mayor of the town through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Our script was written by Miss Jean Holloway. All names and places referred to are fictitious. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Rinso and bidding you all good night.
It's no use saying this overtime is too much, Bill. Hundreds of men do it and feel okay. Maybe you're vitamin deficient. That's why you're all in and jittery, low in resistance to colds. Try Vims.
Vims? You mean those new vitamin mineral tablets?
Nothing else but. Vims match the 6 vitamin formula doctors endorse. Give you 3 minerals, too. Get that Vims feeling. Just remember, it's VI for vitamins, double MS for minerals. Vims.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lionel Barrymore there, starring as the mayor of the town. Next up on the roster, we're going to do something called the Diary of Fate. It sounds spooky and it sounds ominous, and the program is called Walter Vincent from 1948. Sounds like fun, so let's give it a listen.
The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 97, page 854.
In The Diary of Fate.
Yes, here it is. The name Walter Vincent. Occupation, chemist. Yes, Walter. For 4 years, you have been an employee of the Randall Foundation for scientific research. And in that time, you have come to realize how wrong you were to select science as a life work. Although you were diligent and accurate, you lack inventiveness. And many times during recent months, your wife Carol has pointed out in no uncertain terms the long and fruitless road which lies ahead of you. This realization brought you to temptation and a choice. Now for a moment, I, Fate, look ahead to a single instant in your life. An instant of decision.
I don't intend to give up everything now, Walter, and no matter what it means.
Good. We still have a chance if we work together. You see, Kramer is going to give Philip that letter at the masquerade.
I don't understand,
Walter. And that means just one thing. I'll have to go to the masquerade in his place. And I'll have to get rid of Philip.
In that decision, Walter Vincent, you will find your goal and your destruction. Soon it will be time for a further entry under your name. When I have written, I will read from the record of Walter Vincent in the Diary of Fate. Walter Vincent, an infamous decision was made. Yet in the final analysis, it was a little thing, seemingly insignificant, that determined the inevitable outcome. It is ever thus. Remember, Walter Vincent, where it all started? You were driving home from the funeral of Professor Rudolf Teigman, an associate of the Foundation, who had died suddenly of a heart attack. Your wife and Philip Webb, also a chemist at the Foundation, were talking as you drove through the heavy rain.
He was a great scientist, old Teigman. The Foundation is certainly going to miss him.
Strange, isn't it? How suddenly and unexpectedly it can happen. Just like that, and it's all over.
Yeah, that's right, Carol.
I only hope I can achieve half as much in my life as he did in his. I'd consider it a lifetime well spent.
What? How can you say that, Philip? Professor Teigman was a lonely old man. He never really lived in his whole life. He never had any money or fun. Just work and more work. That's all he knew.
Yes, but look at all the splendid things he accomplished.
And where did that get him? I'll bet he wished plenty of times he'd enjoyed life more as he went along. Believe me, I'm not going to stake my happiness on a future I may never see.
Oh, excuse me, Carol. But this next corner will be fine, Walter.
Oh, okay, Phil. Glad to drive you on home, though.
No, thanks. But there is one thing.
Yeah?
I'm going out to Teigman's lab tomorrow, and I'd appreciate it if you'd come along and sort of help me put his things in order out there.
Why, sure, Phil. Glad to.
Fine. See you tomorrow, then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Walter, I meant what I said about that future. I'm completely fed up with the way we live.
Oh, Carol, darling, don't talk like that. We'll get our chance one of these days.
One of these days can be a long, long time. I'm not going to wait much longer.
Oh, you won't have to, honey. With Tigman gone, there are openings all down the line.
Oh.
And I'm almost a cinch to head my department. Well?
We'll see, Walter. We'll see.
Yes, Walter. A pressing impatience in Carol's heart is like a whip to your ambition. It caused you to do anything to make her happy. But the next morning, when the promotions were announced, the one you expected went to Philip. It was a humiliating shock to you. And you knew how Carol would take it. By the time you arrived at Tigman's remote laboratory, you had regained control of yourself. And nothing was said at the promotion as you helped Philip pack the clutter of apparatus, supplies, and papers. And then, Walter, a little thing happened.
I guess you can get most of that stuff in this box, Walter.
Yes, I think so. By the way, what was Tigman working on, Phil, do you know?
I have no idea. I used to be his assistant, but for the last 6 months, they had me back in the office. I hope there's something in these papers that'll tell us.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a list of everything I put in this box.
Fine. I'll go get something to carry the books in.
Yeah. Oh, blast it anyway.
What happened?
Oh, my pen had leaked. I smeared ink all over.
Oh, there's probably a blotter in that bottom drawer of the desk. Be back in a minute.
You open the desk drawer, Walter. And as you search for a blotter, your eyes fell on something else. Something destined to change your entire life. A notebook. At one glance, you realized what was in it. The results of the last 6 months of intense research by the great Tigman. A completely revolutionary method of cracking crude oil. You heard Philip returning, and quickly, you slipped the notebook into your pocket and turned to face him.
Oh, by the way, Phil, I haven't congratulated you on your promotion yet. I think it's great.
Thanks, Walter. I appreciate that. It was between us, you know, and, well, I thought maybe you'd...
Oh, I'd resent it? No, no, not me. You make a better executive than I anyway. I'd be lost out of the lab.
Oh, thank you, Walter. I'm taking my vacation soon, and when I get back, let's get together, huh?
Sure.
Oh, by the way, what are you working on, Walter?
Petroleum. Okay. Yes, and I think I may have something, too. Or don't say anything about it, Phil. You see, I'm not sure yet, but if I'm on the right track, it'll be big. Very big.
Yes, Walter. Because of a leaking fountain pen, you alone had found Tigman's notebook. You could have turned it over to the Foundation, but you had other ideas. In the days that passed, you made certain that nowhere else among Tigman's papers was there a hint of what he had been working on. You checked and tested his formula. It was complete and accurate. Then, at last, you were ready. The startling announcement came out that you, Walter Vincent, had devised a new and revolutionary method for refining crude oil.
This is amazing, Walter. As the director of the Randall Foundation, I congratulate you. And leave it to me, my boy. I'll see to it that you get a position at once where you can really exercise your ability.
Well, thank you, Dr. Crane.
And congratulations, Walter.
Thank you.
That was great publicity for the outfit. And say, I want you to pose with Dr. Kramer here, and then we'll get some individual portraits, some action
sure.
shots of you in the lab, too. You know, the papers are going to eat this up.
Yes. Just 3 short weeks after you had stolen Professor Tigman's notebook, Walter, your world was completely changed. You had a new job at more than double your old salary. You were known in scientific circles as a very promising young man. And Carol, of course, was delighted. But the change, Walter, had been brought about by your choice for evil. And already forces were gathering against you. Even as you relished your newfound glory, and Carol chattered happily about a forthcoming party, another little thing happened.
Oh, Walter, this will be the first party we've gone to in years where I can really feel like somebody.
Yes, I know. Well, I told you our break would come one day.
Oh, I'm glad it's a masquerade. I've got the most wonderful idea for a costume. Marie Antoinette.
Oh?
But, well, it's going to be expensive.
Oh, darling, I don't care if it is. We can afford it now, and if it'll make you happy, you... Oh, I'll get it, Carol. Hello? Walter Vincent speaking.
This is Dr. Kramer, Walter. Do you know when Philip Webb is coming back from his vacation?
Oh, the day after tomorrow, I think, Doctor.
Oh, that's too bad.
Why? What's the matter, Doctor?
Well, I'm leaving town tonight, and I wanted to see him before I left. A very strange thing just happened, Walter. It was like getting a message from the grave.
A message from the grave? What do you mean, Doctor?
An envelope addressed to Philip just arrived. It was evidently lost in the mail. You see, it's from Professor Teichman. It must be about the work he was doing when he died.
Yes, Walter. A little thing. A misaddressed envelope. A letter lost in the mail now suddenly loomed up in your life as a huge stumbling block. It would topple your whole world into ruin. You knew that somehow you had to get that letter or you were trapped. But you realized that the first thing you had to do was tell Carol. Tell her the whole thing. You had to know if you could depend on her.
And that's the way it happened, Carol. That's the whole story. Well, don't just stand there. Say something.
It's such a shock. I don't know what to say. You've got to get that letter, Walter. Some way you've got to get it.
That's what I wanted you to say, Carol. I had to know if I could count on your help.
I don't intend to give up everything now, Walter. No matter what it means.
Good. We still have a chance. If we work together. You see, Kramer is going to give Philip that letter at the dance.
I don't understand,
and
Walter.
And that means one thing. I'll have to go to the masquerade in his place. And I'll have to get rid of Philip.
Yes, Walter. Because of a fountain pen that leaked, a little thing, you were faced with a decision. And your choice was for evil. Now, because of another little thing, a misaddressed envelope, you were threatened with exposure and disgrace. A net of circumstances was closing around you. Soon there would be no escape. Soon, I will write again under your name in the Diary of Fate. Tense, worried days later, but you, Walter, finally added the last detail to your method of murder. Philip had returned from his vacation, and you had talked to him. Then you explained your scheme to Carol.
Oh, Walter, I'm afraid. Are you sure there's no other way?
Positive. I've looked for that letter every place I possibly could since Kramer's been gone. I can't find it. There's nothing else we can do.
All right, Walter.
Now listen, I've talked to Philip. He's going to the masquerade as Pinocchio. He's got a mask that covers the whole head, and it'll fit me. I told him today that I had to go to New York, so he thinks you're going to the dance with him. I want to be sure a lot of people know that.
Well, that'll be easy. Then what?
Saturday evening, I'll get on the train here and get off when it stops at Maplewood. You meet me there with the car.
And bring you back here?
Yes. Then I'll take care of Philip. We'll go to the dance, get the letter from Kramer, and leave. I'll catch a plane. I've already got the reservation under the name of Jones. I'll overtake the train and get back on it. All you know is that Phil was a little high when he took you home.
Oh, Walter, what if something goes wrong?
Nothing can go wrong, I tell you. Not if we're careful and use our heads. The hardest time will be the dance. We'll really have to play our parts there. And play them well.
Yes, Walter. From now on, you'd have to play a part. And play it well. For murder is a hazardous game. Where they would do the most good, you'd drop casual bits of information about your trip to New York. And that Philip was escorting Carol to the dance. And finally, on Saturday night, you even fixed it so David Sloan, the Foundation's public relations man, was at the station with Carol to see you off.
So if you can drop in and see him, it'll be worth a feature story in his new magazine.
Well, I'll certainly try, David. It all depends on how much time I have.
Well, Mr. Vincent, busy or not, you better find time somewhere to write me every day. Understand?
Sorry you're going to miss that masquerade tonight, old boy. That's the one thing nobody really should miss.
Don't I know it. And I'm sending Carol with Philip Webb. Pinocchio and Marie Antoinette should make quite a pair. Hey, you think I can trust them together?
I think so. Pinocchio's made of wood, you know.
Yes, but there are no strings on him either.
Well, I'll keep an eye on them, Walter. Have a good time in the city and hurry back.
I will, David. Better get aboard, Carol. Now, don't forget, one block south of the station at Maplewood. And don't be late.
I won't, don't worry. I'll get rid of David and leave right away.
As the train traveled a few miles to Maplewood, you talked with the porter about your compartment, tipped him lavishly, spoke to the conductor, and made certain that several of the passengers were aware of your presence and would remember you. Then, as the train pulled to a stop in Maplewood, you stepped off quickly, quietly, melded into the crowd. A few minutes later, you were with Carol in your car, speeding back the way you had come.
Better slow down a little, Carol.
We have to hurry, Walter.
Slow down, I said. All we need right now is to be picked up for speeding. That'd fix things fine.
When we get to Phillips, shall I wait for you?
No. Go on home, put on your costume. I'll pick you up in his car.
All right. We're almost there. It's down on the next block.
Okay, turn here and stop. I'll walk the rest of the way.
Walter.
What?
Walter, be careful.
Don't worry, this will be easy. The tough part's going to be that dance afterwards, and don't forget that for a minute. I'll go on home and get dressed. I got to get going.
What is... Why, Walter, I thought you were on your way to New York.
Well, I'm supposed to be. You're still going to the dance, aren't you?
Of course. I'm just dressing now.
Well, let me in, Philip. Yeah, I got to talk to you.
Sure, come in. What is it, Walter? What's wrong?
Is anyone else here now?
No. Walter, what's the matter?
Philip, are you going to be alone tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
All day? You're not expecting anyone? Not going out?
No, not until 9 tomorrow night. Why?
Oh, that's fine. Philip, I'm in a jam. A bad one. I want to stay here tonight. Could you help me out?
Now, wait a minute. I think you'd better start at the beginning and tell me all about it.
All right, but... Oh, is that whiskey there in the decanter? I really need a drink, Phil.
Well, I'll get it for you. I've never seen you like this, Walter. You're in bad shape. Oh, here you are.
Thanks. Well, Philip, it's like this. Oh, the glass. I'm sorry, Phil. It slipped.
Oh, forget it. You'd better sit down, Walter. I'll pick up the pieces. It's nothing. Go on, sit down, Walter. Walter, The poker, what are you...
Yes, Walter. Killing Philip was simple. For a moment you stared down at him, lying dead in front of his fireplace. Then you moved quickly. You took his keys from his pocket, set his watch ahead to midnight and smashed the crystal. Arranged the room to look as if he had fallen and struck his head while replacing a light bulb in the chandelier. Then you entered his bedroom. And when you came out again, you were Philip Webb, fully dressed in the bizarre costume of Pinocchio. A few minutes later, in Philip's car, you picked up Carol and drove to the masquerade.
Walter, we're sure everything's all right. You didn't make any mistake.
No, I didn't. Now stop worrying me, will you? You keep watching me in there, and just as soon as I get that letter from Dr. Kramer, you fake a headache so we can leave.
All right.
And don't let me get stuck with anybody where I have to talk too much.
I won't.
All right. We better go on in. And for heaven's sake, act like nothing's happened. Everything depends on this now.
Well, I'll be. Pinocchio, you old rascal. Get up, terrific.
Oh, you like it?
Phil, that's a wonderful costume. I got to get a picture of that one. What a head and what a face.
I told him it was going to be the best in the place.
That's great, Carol. It really is. Say, you're rather pretty good yourself, Marie Antoinette.
Thank you.
It's sure too bad old Walter had to miss this party.
We're really going to have a time tonight.
Kramer hasn't shown up yet, Carol, but he should be here any minute. How am I doing? Heard your comment?
You're doing fine. I don't think anybody suspects a thing. Just keep it up.
Don't worry, I will. We can't slip now.
Oh, Philip, pardon me, folks. Phil, Dr. Kramer just came in. He wants to see you a minute. He's back there in the corner.
Oh, thanks a lot, David. I'll go right away.
I'll wait for you here, Philip.
Well. Hello there, Philip, or should I say Pinocchio. That certainly is a fine costume.
Oh, hello, Dr. Kramer.
What I wanted to see you about, Philip, is a letter. It was lost in the mail, I presume. You see, it's for you, from Professor Tigman.
From Tigman?
Yes, I have it here. Do you want it now? I can just easily keep it until Monday.
No, I'll take it now, Doctor, and thank you very much.
Oh, Philip.
Excuse me, Doctor. Yes, Carol?
I'm sorry, but my head is splitting. Would you mind taking me home?
Oh, that's too bad, Carol. Of course not. Come along.
I've got it, Carol. I've got the letter. Now nobody will ever know. Now we're set for life.
Yes, Walter, it was all over now. You had the letter. The perfect alibi for murder. All you had to do was leave the dance, get back on the train, and you were safe. But take heed, you who listen, lest you think fate unjust, a conspirator in evil. In a few moments, I will write for the last time under the name Walter Vincent. When I have written, I will read from the Diary of Fate. Confident that your masquerade had been successful. Yes, your impersonation of Philip Webb had been perfect. And now safety lay only a few feet away. But then, Walter, another little thing happened.
Let's get going, Carl.
Oh, my heel.
Carol, what's the matter?
The heel of my slipper broken, caught in my skirt.
Let me get it.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the high spot of the evening. Yes, friends, this has been a wonderful party, and now... Hey, wait a minute. Don't let that Pinocchio get away.
Hold it.
I've got a big surprise for you. You can't leave now.
I've got to leave.
The judges' committee has selected the outstanding masquerader of the evening, none other than Pinocchio. Now, folks, it's midnight. And you're first, my boy, so remove your mask, Pinocchio, and take a bow, Mr. Philip Webb.
Remove your mask? No,
come on, folks. He's back. We'll give you a hand, Phil.
Come on, take your
mask. Stop it.
I got it all.
Why? It's not Phil Webb. It's Walter Vincent.
Yes, Walter. Your masquerade was perfect. So perfect that you won first prize and destroyed your own alibi. And now, as the seconds tick away inexorably toward the moment of your execution for murder, your wife, Carol, for her part in the crime, sits alone in her prison cell, waiting hopelessly for an empty future. And now it is time to close the book. Another entry has been duly noted on the pages of eternity, and justice has been served. In the case of Walter Vincent, as in the cases of all mortals, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the countless little things that happen are the tools with which I work. Because of a fountain pen that leaked, this man, Walter Vincent, was given an opportunity, and he chose for evil. Then, because the heel of a slipper broke and delayed his escape for a few critical seconds, I, fate, brought him to justice. Ponder well the moral, you who listen. And remember, there is a page for you in the diary of fate.
Cast included Herbert Litton, Tom Brown, Gloria Blondell, Peter Leeds, John Arthur, Ray Erlenborn, Ivan Ditmars, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley transcription. Brought to you from Hollywood.
That's it. We're done for this week, but we'll be back next week with some more great old-time radio, and I hope you can join us. Till then, this is Jim Dolan wishing you a good day.